Hello, everybody. My name is Blythe, and I am a compulsive overeater, also bulimic and anorexic. And wow, I'm impressed. This is just a really beautiful, wonderful group of people. I haven't been to this particular meeting, but I know several of you, and I'm so grateful that you're here because I certainly cannot do this alone. And I have a feeling you're here because you can't either. I know I tried for years. And I'm grateful to my higher power for another day of abstinence, another gift I don't ever want to take for granted. So I'm honored to have been asked to share my experience with sponsorship, with working with others. Because again, another gift. One of the promises, and I don't think Bill intended it this way, but I have to make a joke about it because I'm an anorexic. One of the promises says, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, in my anorexia, I went far down the scale. Now, I know Bill didn't mean that, but no matter how far down the scale I have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And now, after all these years, when I'm challenged, there's this like little voice that says, someday you're going to be able to help somebody. That's why you need to go through this now. And, my sponsor reminds me, I get what I need, not what I want. And every experience is an experience that I can share. And I'm so grateful for that. I just real briefly, I'll just tell you, I came here kicking and screaming. So when I saw that step 12 on the wall and it said that middle part, the middle part of it that said, we will try to help others. I was like, no way. Absolutely no way. I couldn't comprehend. I was here because I'm miserable. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to get fat. I love to eat. I have this really important problem, and which I did find out was really important and that I was sick, but I didn't know that yet. I didn't know what my problem was. So the idea that I was going to be able to help somebody or be expected to help somebody was like pretty foreign to me. And I am so grateful that I feel like I have been chosen to be able to do that. And I will, I will, instead of complaining about things that have happened to me or in my experience here, I will try to be aware of the gift of it being given to me so that I could be of service to somebody else today. So I'll just tell you that my first day at an OA meeting was in June of 1988. My first day of abstinence was July of 1989, July 10th. So I'm coming up on, God willing, I do not, and I know I'm one bite away like everybody else, but God willing, I will come up on have 37 years of abstinence. And again, thank you, God. I really take no credit. I could not get one day. I will tell you that I came to meetings. I kept hearing, keep coming back. I came kicking and screaming, and I went home and I binged my brains out. And I'm going to share with you the woman who is my sponsor today to lead into sponsorship. She thought I was going to die. I was living in Chicago and then, of course, going to face-to-face meetings. We didn't have Zoom. I'm so grateful for Zoom. And she thought I was going to die, and she approached me. And Bill uses that word a lot in the Big Book, and you'll hear me talk about the Big Book because that's the way I help others. One of the ways, I guess. I mean, I'm open to any of the literature that we have, but I love the Big Book. And he uses the word approach, that I have a responsibility to approach the newcomer. I don't, if they sit in the corner because not that. It's different in Zoom, but they're sitting there in their corner and they're shy and they're not coming up to me. I don't ignore them and wait for them to come to me. I approach. And this woman approached me and she gave me her phone number and she said, call me. And I called her because I was, this was the last house on the block, as you hear people say. I had nowhere else to go. I had appeared to have hit a bottom, but I couldn't stop binging. And I called her and I said, "I'm binging. I can't stop binging." And she'd say, "Of course you're binging. You're a compulsive overeater." Or, "I'm binging and purging. Of course you're binging and purging. You're a bulimic." And, oh, and you know, and I had a therapist who said, I said, "I binged last night again." And he said, "Of course you did. You're going to do it again tonight. You might as well give yourself permission to do it." And I'm like, "What? What? What are these people talking about?" And I know today what they were talking about. And this is the message I hope to share with other people. This is not our fault. This isn't about willpower. This is any not anything I can control. I learned that I have an illness, and I believe even after all my years of recovery, I can call myself today recovered. I believe that. I am recovered. I can tell you those 10-step promises have come true. I can tell you that I'm doing the deal and today. But I also tell you that I believe that I got to get up and do it again tomorrow, and then I got to do it again the next day, and I got to do it the next day because my illness doesn't go away. I am still sick. And my ego seems to show its ugly face pretty clearly to me. Almost the longer I'm abstinent, it's like, you know, okay, Blythe, you're not done. Maybe when they put you in the ground, you're done, but you're not done yet. You're not done. And, you know, we're going to use you. Well, I say we're my higher power, you know, I'm going to be used for something that's other than just how I look, how thin I am, how pretty I am, and all the stuff that I was all caught up in my story. But this isn't about my story. This is about a story of selflessness. The 12th step to me, even though it's about service, it's really about love and charity. It's when we go out of our way, we do what we do here, and expect nothing in return. And in order for me to get there, to be willing to do that, I had to do the work. So I had to get a sponsor. That's what this group's about. I had to get a sponsor. I didn't want a sponsor because I didn't want anybody to tell me what to do. I didn't want anybody to tell me what to eat. I didn't want anybody to any fill in the blank. I think some of you get that. Some of my sponsees are here today. I said, you know, "I need you to be here so you're going to keep me honest, you know, and you can jump in and say, 'She's lying.' That's not true." But hopefully that won't happen. But this woman who is still my sponsor, although I did, my experience is I've had a few sponsors because in the beginning, I wanted to do this thing perfectly. I wanted to know how to do the steps perfectly. I wanted to find the person who's going to show me the best way because everything, all that kind of stuff. And so I did go through a few different sponsors in that with that kind of a motive. And that's my experience. I work with some people left town, some people their husband died. One person fired me and said, "You are verbally abusing me. I don't want to work with you anymore." It's like, oh, okay. Me verbally abusing you? Anyway, but this woman who approached me and asked me to call her and said those things I just shared with you, is the woman who eventually, after the first few years, my first 5 years of recovery were I was not on a pink cloud. I was kicking and screaming. You know, the big book says that I use food to blot out the consciousness of an intolerable situation up here. So food was my solution. So I put down the food. What do I have left? I have a consciousness of an intolerable situation. And I'm kicking and screaming. And my husband's divorcing me. And my daughter is going to live with him. And fill in the blank and on and on. And poor me, poor me. And I'm not a happy camper. And I don't want to eat what you're telling me to eat, the nutritionist, or I don't want to, you know, I left treatment. They told me I was going to die. I always say I should be dead. Who am I to say I should be dead? I'm 76 years old and I'm still alive. I guess I'm not supposed to be dead. And I could, complain about being 76 because I complain about a lot of things, but I'm 76. I made it this long, having done, not that I did it to my body. I'm sick, not our fault. I got to remember that. But having gone through what my body has gone through, what my mind has gone through in these different phases of this eating disorder, it's pretty amazing what God has done. And I guess that's, the first part of this 12th step, I'm supposed to talk about the second part, but the first part says having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Well, why is that important to the second part? Because when I try to carry this message, and I try, that's all I can do is try, and I leave the outcome to God. I can't make somebody have a first step experience. I can try. I could share my experience. I could have a spiritual relationship with my higher power to come in and help me. And so one of my girls here is, pause, pray, proceed. Anyway, and I learned to do those things so that, so anyway, oh, so why is it important, that first part? Because we try to carry this message. Well, what's the message? The message that I was taught is, if you do these 12 steps like they did in the big book, if you follow those instructions, you will get what they got. You too will have a spiritual experience. Now, when that was happening to me, I didn't know that was happening. I didn't have a white light experience. I didn't have any kind of thing like that. But all of a sudden, like, I know something's happening. There's an AA speaker, he talks about the promises, like when they come true, like you don't know. You go, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, intuitively know how to handle situation. Oh, when did that happen? How'd that happen? Oh my God, it just happened. Like, it happens suddenly when you're not looking. It's like all of a sudden I realized something was happening. So that's, I need to share, or I have shared, or I've learned how to. And I don't know how to do this any better than anybody in this. The only way I could be a sponsor was to show up and be a sponsor. That means I had to get in the field and I had to do it. I was the person who read the self-help book. I would be the person who would sit in my bedroom and I'd take a book on how to play basketball, and I'd sit in my bed and I'd read the whole book and I'd know everything about basketball, and I'd never go out on the court. I gotta go out on the court. I gotta go and do it. I gotta make the mistake. I remember early on, I was sponsoring a woman, and I thought, oh my God, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. I gotta call her back. I gotta call her back. I gotta tell her I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have said that. And all that craziness that went on in my head. It's been a process. It's been a process, and it's been about a lot about having had a spiritual awakening, about trusting my higher power, making that connection. Anytime I work with somebody, anytime I do like a workshop, and one of my sponsees, she and I actually did a workshop, a couple, on the 12th step and working with others. So we do have this really, I think it's an amazing workshop. And if anybody's interested, we're certainly willing to make it available to anybody who wants it. And we did do it through Footsteps in one of their things that they had. So that's a responsibility I have today, that I was taught, that having had a spiritual awakening, I have a responsibility to try to carry this message to another compulsive overeater, and then to practice these principles in all of our affairs, because that's what these steps are, principles. And then I encourage my sponsees to go on and learn the traditions. And then those of them who are as nerdy as I am and are, can get interested in the concepts. So, because we have three, Bill left us three sides of a triangle, three legacies. And he left us a service structure so that AA, and in our case, OA, will be here for my children's 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 children. We don't have rules and we don't have laws, even though Bill has a lot of musts in the book. But what I learn and what I teach my sponsees, and I do, by the way, teach my sponsees, encourage my sponsees to be on screen. I say, you don't go to a meeting and put a bag over your head, do you? You know, you got to be present. You got to be part of it. It's connection. You know, I'm powerless, so I got to go seek power, and I want to be with power. And you guys, I'm looking at you, and I see faces, and I'm so excited because I get to connect to all this power. That these are, there's no rules. If there's a rule, that means there's going to be a, you know, if you break a rule, you have to get punished. There's going to be a punishment. We don't do that here. We don't need to do that here because we have the food to punish us. The food will take, I don't have to, you know, take somebody and get them to do a first step. The food will do it. Food is one disciplinarian. And then we have God, higher power, whatever that looks like for you, another disciplinarian. And that's been my experience. So what I've learned about sponsoring, about working with others is I just need to love you. I need to love you. I need to meet you where you're at. I've heard it said, I'm some of you may not think this is funny, but I think it's funny. How do you know if a sponsee is lying to you? Their lips are moving. We lie, we steal, we cheat, we do, you know, we come into these rooms, we have an illness that is, you know, I break a shoelace, normal people, normal, whatever that is, breaks a shoelace and they go out and get a new shoelace. I break a shoelace and I call suicide prevention. So, you know what? Those early years for me were hard, and I know they're going to be hard because if you put down the food, if you've been in the food and you've been doing what we've done here, you're going to have to face a real problem. And I could talk about this all day, but I have to stop. So I'm going to stop, and then I'm going to follow directions and do what I'm told to do next.